Today, I thought we would go have an overview of the book of Jonah in preparing for us to get into Jonah here over the next several weeks or so. And I thought we'd go over the map and trace how the areas that Jonah traveled into over this book. But Jonah is a small four-chapter book, and it's only 48 verses, something like 10 to 12 verses, maybe 17 verses in the first chapter, but very short chapters and only 48 verses in the entire book. So there's a lot of information covered in these 48 verses. But what the book of Jonah is about, the wickedness of this large city called Nineveh, which is right here, which was the capital of Assyria, put the Assyrian Empire, and so Nineveh here is they were very wicked, and God was tired of their wickedness. So he talks to his prophet Jonah, who lives at around Nazareth. It's a Gath Hefer is the town, but it's just a few miles outside of Nazareth. So very close to where Jesus is raised up as a child and adolescent. So, and he wants him to go and he was going to give a message to Jonah. God would give a message to Jonah of what to tell them. To tell them that they must repent, otherwise God was going to destroy them in 40 days. Well, Jonah did not want to. In fact, he utterly refused. And the reasons why he refused are not given in chapter 1. They are alluded to, and I feel like that they're given in chapter 4. But there's all kinds of different reasons that Johnny Ramsey gave. We have a summary that I don't know that I'll read it today, but it'd be another time probably. And then other people have given. But the only thing that makes sense to me, which is the one that Kaufman believes was the correct reason that Jonah was refusing to go and preach to Nineveh, was because he felt that forgiveness, that God should only forgive the Israelites, only forgive the Hebrews, and he should not forgive any of the Gentiles. So that was the reason. And he states in chapter 4 that was why he didn't want to go to Nineveh originally, was because he knew if he went to preach to Nineveh, they would repent and God wouldn't destroy them, and he wanted God to destroy them. And he didn't want God to forgive them. So I think that is the reason. Commentators all through the centuries have come up with the reasons that he was too afraid to go because these were very harsh people and they might kill him. But he wasn't afraid for his life of any sort. The thing that makes sense, which he talks about in chapter 4, is he wanted God to destroy these Ninevites. So, which he's supposed to go to the east. Here he is here and travel to the east to Nineveh. Well, he does the dead opposite, and he's going to go west. So he's going to get in a boat, go in this Mediterranean Sea. So he goes from Nazareth right here, somewhat 60 miles, somewhat north of Jerusalem, and he goes to this seaport named Joppa, this city seaport, and he finds a boat that is going what is thought to be in way to the west in Spain is where they think that this boat is going. But they get here and they start traveling west in the Mediterranean Sea, the Great Sea here, and God makes a great storm to come upon the ship. And it scares the sailors. Jonah is asleep in the bottom, in the hull of the ship. Sound asleep. But this is so torrential of this storm, and it's about to capsize the ship, and they're all going to die. So these sailors cast lots to see who is the culprit. They figure somebody on this ship is the culprit why this storm came out of nowhere. And the lot fell on Jonah. So they go and wake Jonah up, and he tells them that he is a Hebrew, and he is a servant of the Creator, the God who created the earth and the sea, and that he is to blame of why this storm came up, because he's refusing to go do what God has commanded him to do. And so then Jonah said, what you must do, you must throw me overboard and you will be saved. Now, Kaufman thinks at this time that for the first time in his life, he's starting to have compassion for the Gentiles. And this was a precursor then to having compassion for the Ninevites to travel there and consent to doing what God commanded him to do. But I have a different thought. I think that he is not having compassion for these sailors, and instead, he is telling them to throw him overboard so he can die, because he still doesn't want to go to Nineveh, because he knows they'll repent. He says this in chapter 4. I knew they would repent if I went there and preached to them, and then you would forgive them. And I did not want you to forgive them. I wanted you to destroy them. So I think that he is telling these sailors to throw me overboard because he wants to die. He would rather die and then let these Ninevites, God, then he's thinking, well, God will go ahead and destroy the Ninevites because now there will be no one to preach to them, so they'll repent. And so God will destroy them. I will die, but that's just a casualty, so to speak, that he was willing to make. Also, they think that Jonah was about 100 years old. So he's toward the end of his life at this point. And anyway, so the soldiers are terrified and they do not want to throw him overboard. But as the storm gets worse and worse, they tried to row to shore, I guess somewhere in here, to the Africa, Egypt area, wherever they were. We don't know where they were during this time. But they tried to row to the shore, but the current and the wind was too strong. They could not row against it, so they couldn't make it to shore. So they're either all going to die, or it's coming down to they're going to have to throw Jonah overboard, just as Jonah told them. But these pagan, heathen, Gentile sailors, before they throw Jonah overboard, they pray to God, to the God of the Hebrews, the Creator, and ask that this sin of throwing this innocent man, is what they call Jonah, an innocent man overboard, that they do not hold, that God will not hold that to their charge and to their account. And then they throw Jonah overboard. Then God has specially prepared this great fish that there is no way to know what this kind of fish is. We just know it was a great fish that God took control of and had this fish at the right place at the right time, right where they threw Jonah overboard, and had the fish go and swallow Jonah. So there were all kinds of miracles in this book, for sure this first chapter, and then in the fourth chapter. But the great wind was a miracle caused by God. It was not a natural storm. This fish being at the right place at the right time was a miracle caused by God to make this fish be there at the right place. And then God miraculously caused this great fish to swallow Jonah. And then God miraculously protected Jonah to where he ends up surviving through the swallowing of the fish. And now some people think that he may have died in the fish's belly and God resurrected him, but it does not say that. But it was miraculous. He would not be able, and he was in the belly of this great fish 3 days and 3 nights, and he would not have been able to breathe because they're in any belly of any animal on earth, a water animal or a land animal. There is no air to breathe in any stomach. And so God miraculously protected Jonah because he's alive when he spit back out. Whether he was dead inside the fish or not, but he's not dead the whole time in the fish, because chapter 2 is his prayer to God, where he changes his mind and he consents then to do as God wants him to, and he will go to Nineveh. But anyway, that is also the miracle, that God protected Jonah in the belly of this great fish. But for these 3 days and three nights that he's in this belly of the whale, we know what's the stomach contents of all animals, land and sea animals, and humans. It's acid, it is digestive juices, it is bile, and it's very caustic to the skin and hair. So at the very least, it ate up all the hair off of his body, and I am confident, I got this from Timothy, I'm confident that it grossly disfigured his whole body, to where it ate up his skin, to where he looked very grotesque and some kind of a evil villain out of a horror movie. And that has a skin melted off and eaten off. So I think this contributed to Nineveh's rapid willingness to repent to God, because this unbelievably horrific man is telling them that if they don't repent, then God's going to destroy them in 40 days. But this is where chapter 1 ends, and this four-chapter book. The chapter 1, Jonah runs away from God, and he's running west instead of going east, so he's running away from God. Chapter 2, he's running to God, and this is while he's in the belly of this great fish, and he's praying to God, and now he is coming back to God. Chapter 3, he's running with God. So then he travels from the great sea to Nineveh, and then he runs with God and does what God wants him to do and preaches to them. And then chapter 4, which is hard to understand, he runs against God, and he does a complete 180 from chapters 2 and 3, and he reverts back to chapter 1, and again, he is not happy and glad that God did not destroy the Ninevites. He is angry that God did not destroy the Ninevites. And that's hard to understand, but that's just what happened. So these four chapters, chapter 1, Jonah runs with God. Chapter 2, Jonah runs to God. Chapter 3, Jonah runs with God. And then chapter 4, unfortunately, Jonah runs against God. So those are the four chapters in this book. Now, any questions or comments on anything up to this point? Okay. Chapter 1, Jonah runs away from God, runs away. And then chapter 2, he runs to God. Chapter 3, he runs with God. And chapter 4, he runs against God. So it's away from, to God, with God, and against God.
But he was perplexed at God's patience with him, but I think he forgot the patience God had with the Israelites from the beginning of time. And he was, because God said, slow to anger, slow to wrath, or slow to judge. But he was... He wanted to destroy it because he knew they were bad.
Yes.
Bad folks.
Yes.
But God says they don't know what left hand from the right. They don't know what they're doing. So they're, I want to say, innocent violence. That's the word I'm going to use. Not about fault. Ignorance. It's almost like they're innocent by ignorance. They don't know what good.
They have not been taught. They've been raised up heathen and
they don't know what good from it. quickly they, I thought within a week, they all realized that they were doomed.
Yes.
And they took Jonah's direct quote saying, you're going to be in short 40 days and you'll be granted. They're like, okay, well, quickly about how long that lasted, I don't know, but I guess Jonah.
He was quickly.
I guess Jonah was really, he didn't understand God's patience, is what it was. He didn't grasp that. But he didn't, I guess he didn't think back in time over how long God was patient with his people until it was time to not be patient. Let Babylonians, you know, thump him in the head and kill half of them, you know, whatever you had to do to wake them up.
That is a very good point, and you hit the nail on the head that is the problem that he did not realize the patience that God had and will have in the future. But guess what? God's patience is about to wear out, that we will cover on the back end, and he's going to use Nineveh now, later, 20 years later, then, because God's patience has run out with Israel and the northern 10 tribes, then Nineveh, being the capital of the Assyrian Empire, will captivate the northern 10 tribes. And so that is right. He did not understand, or he only wanted God's patience to come to the Hebrews and not to any of the Gentiles. But this was God starting to not exactly open the gateway, but to should have started to let the Hebrews know that when God established his kingdom, the Gentiles would be allowed into God's kingdom. But the Israelites, even today, they think that they are going to be the only ones that are in God's kingdom. And so they misunderstood that then. They misunderstand it still today. And they rejected Jesus as the Messiah, of course. And they are still looking for a Messiah to come.
So this also reminds me that all the prophets went perfectly.
Yes.
There was only, what, one or two that were? And they didn't face death? Got called up?
Elijah. Now, I wouldn't call him perfect. Still, Jesus would have been the only perfect. Yes.
But they were human. These people
were human.
And they had emotions.
And Jonah was very fallible.
Yeah.
He had lots of negative traits.
The apostles were human.
Yes.
They had anger. They got mad. They got jealous. Confused.
They did not understand. Jesus went over and over and over.
They didn't understand until Christ was
until he was gone.
They didn't get the Spirit until Acts 2.
That's exactly right. That's what I was about to bring up.
They didn't get the full knowledge of God until Acts 2.
Finally, in Acts 1, that's when they still did not understand about Jesus and coming into his kingdom. And so he told them, wait, the Helper will come and he will guide you into all the truth. And so the Helper was the Holy Spirit, which came upon them in Acts 2, as you pointed out.
So, Moses wasn't perfect. He lost his anger.
Yes.
Babel wasn't perfect. I mean, his leaders weren't. Joshua probably wasn't perfect. But,
right.
But they were called out, and they were braver than 99.9% of the face of the earth.
Yes.
They knew what it is.
Yes. But you're right, the flaws of Jonah got brought out big time here in this account of the book of Jonah. And all of his character flaws were exposed here. These are good points. Any other questions or comments on anything at this point?
Yeah,